So nobody has a New Year's resolution they want to share. I don't pick on people. You can't point at other people. That's not allowed. Okay, and you know what? I'm not surprised. Because the reality is, I'm not real big on making resolutions either. Because to me, they fall into that bucket of things called traditions. And I worry about traditions, because sometimes we get more focused on the tradition than what it was supposed to draw attention to. So it's very rare on New Year's Eve that I sit down and come up with a list of things I want to change or do differently in the next year. But you know, out of curiosity, I decided to go to the internet and find out what the 10 best New Year's resolutions were and what the 10 worst New Year's resolutions are. So Janine, if you could bring up that first tab. So this was from Forbes magazine, very respectable magazine, and they came up with the 10 best resolutions to make in the new year. And most of these sound pretty good, you know, improve your fitness, eat better, learn a new skill, travel more, get out of debt and save more money, meet a life partner. I took care of this one 15 years ago when I met Jesus Christ. He's the best life partner you could ever have. I like this one, and I bet some of you do also. Get more sleep. Give up alcohol products, give up tobacco products, and volunteer. I thought, you know, that doesn't sound like a bad list. So then I went to Google, and I said, Google, give me the 10 worst New Year's resolutions you could make. And this one came from a magazine that I'm not very familiar with called Healthy Living. Sounds like a good magazine. I don't know. I've never read it. Maybe some of you live healthy could do that. But it was kind of funny because the 10 worst New Year's resolutions were almost the same as the 10 best New Year's resolutions. Join a gym, go on a diet, learn a new skill, travel more, get out of debt and save more money. Get back together with your ex. I have no idea if that's the right thing to do or not, but if Jesus was your ex, get back together with him. Okay, catch up on your favorite television series. I have seen some of you post on Facebook about shows you're looking forward to catching up on, so this is one of the worst New Year's resolutions you could make. Surprisingly, giving up alcohol and tobacco were also considered worst New Year's resolutions, and then finally, starting a new career. What I noticed is it's kind of interesting. Although these lists appeared very similar, there were subtle differences. As I read through the commentary on each one, I kind of saw how it stood out. When you look at the first one, improving your fitness. Sounds good. To make that the worst thing to do, join a gym to do it. You're going to spend a lot of money every month, and usually within 2 or 3 months, the only exercise that's happening is money moving out of your checking account into that gym. So take up things that are healthy around your house. Go for a walk on rails to trails. Do what Brother Joe does. Take the dog for a walk every day. There's ways to get exercise without spending money to do it. I kind of like the eating better or go on a diet. Eating better sounds okay. I mean, you can eat as much as you want as long as it's keto or whatever thing you're on. But going on a diet sounds like starvation. And if there's one thing I'm not good at, it's starving myself. It was funny that learning a new skill was both on the best and the worst list. I guess it depends what skill you decide you want to learn. I know people who made a New Year's resolution a few years back to take up skiing. Seemed like an exciting thing to do until they broke their leg. My personal one that I could see being the best and the worst, I've always wanted to teach myself to weld. I want to be able to fix things. I want to be able to weld things back together that I break. But I also have this fear that I'm either going to burn down my garage or electrocute myself. And one of those two things would probably be the worst New Year's resolution to make. Traveling more also showed up on both lists. I mean, I'll be honest, I love beach vacations. I like going to mountains that I've never been to canyons I've never been to whitewater rivers that I've never been to. And I have the time of my life when I go on vacations. About a month later, the credit card bill comes, and I remember that there's kind of a downside to traveling more. I also know people who spend a lot of money on vacations and come back and talk about they were sick the whole time or miserable the whole time. One of the interesting things I read about traveling more and going on more vacations is a lot of people want to get away from all the problems in their life, but what they discover while they're on vacation is that they are the problem in their life, and they went with them, so their problems are still there. The next one, I talked about how my vacations tend to cause problems on my credit card. Both lists had getting out of debt and saving more money. I think we understand why it's on the best things to do. It makes sense. None of us likes having to pay down a credit card bill. None of us likes having to make car payments every month. But there's a harsh reality. Sometime when we total up all our bills and our groceries, and the fact that the car won't start, and maybe the car's never going to start again, makes us have to go into debt. So I think we would all love to get out of debt and be saving money for retirement. We see how happy people like Dennis are since they've retired, and we want to have that same kind of happiness. But it's hard. But I could see why it's on both lists. Now, getting more sleep, there's only one way I'm going to get more sleep, and that's that I change jobs so I don't have to get up at 5 a.m. and get rid of the television and the internet at my house, because those two are the biggest factors causing me to get less sleep, which is funny because on the worst list was catching up on TV series. I'm luckily not addicted to any TV series, but I will admit there are some YouTube channels. Whenever a new video goes up, I want to go watch them. And anytime I do that, it cuts into my sleep. Giving up alcohol and tobacco products. I understand why it's on the best list. One of the things God took away from me when he changed my life 15 years ago was my desire to get drunk every night. That one went away like that, snap of the finger. Unfortunately, he didn't do that with every sin I have in my life. Some of them have been 15 years of chiseling away at me, and I'm not there yet. And I'm thankful that I never got addicted to tobacco products, because the people I know who have tobacco addiction problems also have credit card problems, because cigarettes are incredibly expensive. And then finally, I kind of like that starting a new career was on the worst list. I think the thing is, we expect that we're going to find happiness in our jobs. If there's anything I've learned, that you shouldn't count on a company to control your happiness and your joy. And that's what I like, how it showed up differently on the best things for New Year's resolutions. Volunteer. Have a job to support paying your bills, affording your house, affording your groceries. But find places you can volunteer to do things that give you joy. I look at the people who serve at this church, who clean the place, who cook things for meals, who work in the sound booth, who volunteer to preach on any given weekend. And I see the joy that God's given them. They didn't have to quit their jobs to do that. It's something they do in their spare time. So I wholeheartedly agree. Look for opportunities in 2019 to volunteer. You know, one of my great disappointments, though, at looking at these two lists, is these are all written from a worldly point of view. Forbes magazine or Healthy Living, they're going to tell me that if I want to be happy, I need to be thinner, I need to be stronger, I need to be more interesting so I can tell people of the exciting places I've traveled. But if I've learned anything in the 15 years that I've been following Jesus Christ, is that joy and happiness comes from doing what God wants me to do. So as you sit down and try to make up New Year's resolutions, don't worry about the diet or the gym or the fancy vacation. Find out what God wants you to do in the new year. You know, it's kind of interesting. If you do some of these things, and they're not all bad things, it might actually hurt you in your relationship with Jesus Christ. Because people can become prideful. I lost weight. I learned to speak Spanish. You know, I did something to make myself better. And these aren't things that are going to bring us closer to God. Even with good things, like resolving that I'm going to get to church every Sunday, or I'm going to do devotions every morning when I get up, or I'm going to listen to K-Love every day. These are all good things, but we have to be careful that we don't let the good resolutions we make kind of get us to a place of being earning our salvation. You know, that's not what we want. We want to do things that teach us about growing our dependence on God, giving glory to God and not giving glory to ourselves. So going back to my hesitancy to make New Year's resolutions, and by the number of people who volunteered to share yours, sounds like you have some of the same hesitancies. Maybe we're doing this wrong. Maybe we should come up with some New Year's resolutions. But we need to decide, what does God want us to do? So I'm going to start out in the Old Testament in the book of Jeremiah. And hopefully my screen clicker will catch up with me. Thank you. In Jeremiah 29, verse 13, "You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart." I don't know about you, but seeking with all my heart sounds like hard work. I think a lot of people, when they come to faith in Christ, they think it's like getting into a raft. I'll just get into this raft, push out into the stream, and God will carry me wherever he wants me to go. But what if God wants us to paddle sometimes? What if God wants us to do some exercises so we build up our arm strength so that we can paddle in rough water? Maybe sometimes we have to paddle against the current. What if there's somebody who's sinking in the water who doesn't have a boat and God's counting on us to paddle over to them and save them? You know, in reality, I know a bunch of people who do a lot of physical strenuous activity every week. I know people who go to the gym every day. I know people who run between 50 and 100 miles a week so that they can be in shape to run marathons. But I don't know a lot of people who work really hard to increase their spiritual strength every week. I don't think God's going to dump spiritual strength and maturity into our laps. I think he expects us to work for it, to labor for it, and to strive for it. The Apostle Paul said to a young disciple named Timothy in the first letter of Timothy, chapter 4, verses 7 to 10, "Have nothing to do with godless myths and old wives' tales. Rather, train yourself to be godly. For physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come. This is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. That is why we labor and strive, because we have put our hope in the living God, who is the Savior of all people, and especially of those who believe." Do you see what Paul said there under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit? He said, train yourself to be godly. So if we wanted to make New Year's resolutions to be godly, it sounds like we need a workout plan. We have to come up with a way that we can pump spiritual iron every week. I think the Apostle Paul laid out a very good workout plan in the book of Colossians. Now, it's interesting to note that within the book of Colossians, it says that the young disciple Timothy was at Paul's side while he was writing it. So it could be that Paul was writing this letter for the benefit of Timothy so he could learn a workout plan to be spiritually stronger so that he could prepare himself to replace Paul after Paul's death. But we'll start out with our spiritual workout plan in the book of Colossians, chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. "Since then you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. So we see that the first step of our New Year's resolution to do spiritual workouts each week is to focus on heavenly and eternal things, to seek things that are above. I want you to resolve in 2019 to think often about heaven and of the new earth, of the total defeat of sin and death. I want you to think about Jesus wiping away all your tears for the last time. I want you to think about the celebration as Jesus rides in on a white horse. And if we believe some of the words of Scripture, you might be riding on a white horse with him in that victory celebration. Think about a city with golden streets, with pearly gates, with a tree that produces 12 different kinds of fruit for every season. Think about a city that doesn't need any lights or a sun or a moon, because the glory of Jesus Christ is what lights that city up. When you put your mind on things like this, the troubles that we face every day, the car problems, the credit card bills, they start to seem pretty small. We're going to be in a city that glows with the radiance of Jesus Christ. If you think about that, you might start building some spiritual muscle. You know, I think maybe we've all heard the phrase, and I know I've heard it, he's so heavenly minded that he's no earthly good. I don't believe that phrase. I think that when we put our minds on the things of heaven and the things of eternity, we're going to be way more earthly good. We're going to have power to say things and do things that other people see and are going to be drawn to Jesus Christ. So definitely in 2019, spend some time every day thinking about these heavenly things. The next step in our spiritual workout is going to be the killing of sin. And we see that in Colossians chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature: sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. Resolve in 2019 to kill sin in your life. Identify the factors, the situations, the people who lead you into sin. If there's a group of people you hang out with that lead you into the kind of behaviors we see in verses 5 and 6, find new friends. If the internet draws you to websites that lead to these sins we see in verses 5 and 6, put some sort of software on your phone or your laptop, or accountability stuff that sends a link of all the websites you visit to some friend you trust. And if your job is so stressful that you need to use some of these sins in 5 and 6 to blow off stress, maybe find a new job. It says that these sins lead to the wrath of God. We don't have to face the wrath of God. Jesus took the wrath of the Father on the cross at Calvary. By putting these sins to death in our life, we are actually honoring the sacrifice that Christ made for us. Now, the next step in our spiritual workout plan for 2019, it's kind of the opposite of sinning. It's doing the kind of things that God the Father does, the kind of things that God the Son does, and the kind of things that the Holy Spirit should be leading you to do in your life. And we see this in chapter 3, verses 12 to 14. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you, and over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. So, you know, I sat down and looked at some of these words that Paul, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, wrote down, and I tried to come up with definitions for them. Let's look at some of them. Compassionate. That's feeling and showing empathy and concern for others. Kindness. Being friendly, generous, and considerate towards others. Humility. A modest or low view of one's own importance, seeing others as being more important than you. Gentleness, a quality of being kind, tender, and mild-mannered towards others. Patience, the capacity to accept delay, trouble, or suffering from other people without getting angry or upset. Forgiving. Stopping feeling angry or resentful towards someone for an offense, flaw, or mistake that they've committed against us. And then finally, loving. To selflessly, sacrificially, and unconditionally put the needs of the other person ahead of yourself. You notice something interesting in all these definitions? They have to deal with how we interact with other people. One of the keys to being godly is going to be how we treat other people. And other people see that. You can say you're a Christian, but if you're treating other people poorly, if you're not forgiving towards them, if you're not kind towards them, if you don't show compassion for them, you're not a very good reflection of what Jesus Christ wants out of your life. So let's resolve in 2019 to start doing godly things like this. The next step in our spiritual workout is something that Brother Joe touched on last week. And that's that we should be thankful. And we see that in Colossians chapter 3, verse 15. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace, and be thankful. This is probably the most important one. Being thankful opens up the door to all the grace that God wants to pour into your life. It just overflows out of us when we're thankful for everything that comes our way. We talked this morning as we were giving praises about small things, little things. You know, Jane didn't want to share a praise about being able to go to the grocery store, but if we're thankful in all things, people will notice. They'll want to know, how did that person get to be like that? I hate going to the grocery store. Heck, I've been mad since Friedman's closed and I have to shop at Dollar General. You know? But I should be thankful there's a Dollar General nearby. It's the little things that we should be thankful for. Now, the next step in our spiritual workout is one I hope you think is obvious, but I still think it's important to mention, and you should resolve in 2019, and that's to regularly study the Word of God and to regularly gather with the people of God to discuss the impact of what God's Word is doing in your life. And another reason we should gather together, it's to sing. We see all this in Colossians chapter 3, verse 16. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. There's a lot going on here. The first part of it is dwelling on the message of Christ. How can we know what sin is if we don't know what God's Word says? How can we know the benefits of being a child of God if we don't see it from His Word? And how can we benefit from the fruits of the Holy Spirit if God can't speak to us through our word, through His Word, and bring us to the knowledge of what we're supposed to do? The reality is the Word of God illuminates our path. It helps us to see which way to go in life. It lets us know what we're supposed to do. It says in the Bible that all of the Word of God is sufficient for salvation and relevant to our daily lives. So I want to make sure you resolve in 2019, find some way to learn from the Word of God every day. The Scriptures talk about reading. And I know some people say, I don't have time to read. Listen to the Word of God. There's plenty of opportunities for you to find various translations of the Bible in audio form. Another way is to follow good teachers. There are teachers out there who specifically teach the Word of God. And you will learn what the Word of God says if you listen to these people every day. You need to make this a habit. This has to become something. If you miss it, you notice that you miss it. You want to hear from God every single day and what the truth of what His Word says. Now, the second part of verse 16 calls us to admonish. I'm not real good with a lot of words. Dennis can tell from this morning in Sunday school. He used a word, and I said, Dennis, I don't know what that word means. So Dennis said the word slower. Because we all know that if you say it slower, people will understand. I made fun of him. I said, I always remember, and I learned the hard way. I was in Japan on business, and I was in a taxi, and the taxi driver turned to me and said something in Japanese. I said, I'm sorry, I don't understand Japanese. And he said it much slower. And I thought, you know, we do that as Americans. The people come to our country, and we say something. We figure if we say it really slow, they'll understand it. Admonish. It kind of means to advise or urge with wisdom that you've gained. So the thought here is 6 days a week, you're learning things from God. You're gaining wisdom. One of the reasons why we want you to come here on Sunday is we need you to share that wisdom with us. Because maybe we listened to something else, or maybe something came up and we weren't able to hear anything from God. So we're counting on you to come and share what you've learned. It's what people who take turns filling this pulpit do, but it's also what people do in Sunday school. It's something we can do while we gather and talk before the service or when we gather and talk after the service. If God has taught you something this week, don't keep it inside. Share it with the people who come here to worship with you. And then the last part of verse 16 is kind of my favorite. It's the command to sing. Sing to God with gratitude in our hearts. You know, there's a lot of people in this church that are really good at singing. I'm not one of them. But I don't let that stop me. I sing anyway. It's kind of funny. Today I got a chance to sit up in the front row. Normally I'm in the back, so the only person I really hear singing well... No, let me put that another way. The only person I hear singing poorly is me, because I'm in the back. Although I hear Jeannie and Rick because they have microphones. But today when I was in the front, I could hear a lot of wonderful people singing behind me. And I got to find a way to pipe that to the back of the church when I'm in the sound booth. Because it really helped me sing louder and with more energy and more joy. You know, that's the kind of funny thing. There are a lot of Sundays where I come here in a crabby mood. You don't see me most times because you're not here as early as I am, but I'm mad about this or mad about that. And then we start to sing. And all that crabbiness fades away. And God replaces it with joy. So I want you not to miss out on that joy. I want you to resolve to sing in 2019. Now, the last part of our spiritual workout, maybe this is our wind down phase. Our heart's beating fast. We're breathing heavy. We'll finish up with Colossians 3:17. In whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. If we go back to where we started today, this can be a hard thing to do. Our natural tendency is to do things for the glory of us, to make ourselves look good. But in 2019, I want us all to resolve to do things that make God look good. Do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus. So how do we do that? I mean, are we physically capable? I'd probably say no. But because God has put his Holy Spirit into our hearts, we can fulfill all these resolutions. And should Jesus Christ not return in 2019, I promise you, by the end of the year, you'll bring much glory to God. I think the Apostle Paul did a great job of wrapping up how we can do all these 2019 resolutions to be more godly. And it appears in the book of Ephesians, chapter 3, verses 14 to 21. Some people call it a benediction, but I'm going to say something after it, so it's not the end of the service. But we'll start out in verse 14. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power, that it is work within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. It's hard to top that. Paul was quite a preacher. But I will try to pray. Not as good as Paul, but as good as God enables me to do. Lord, we thank you for this word that you've given to us today. It does sound like a spiritual workout, Lord, and we're going to need you to help us, to strengthen us, to give us energy, to give us the desire to become more godly in 2019. Not to bring glory and honor to ourselves, but to bring glory and honor to you. And Lord, we pray that as these things happen, that people are drawn to you, that people come into the kingdom through faith in your Son, Jesus Christ. That's the glory we want to see in 2019, Lord. Use us in any way you see fit. And we do look forward to that day, Lord, when we see Jesus coming back on a white horse to declare victory over sin and death and all evil. And then we go forever into your kingdom, where you will always receive the glory and honor that you deserve. Lord, we ask this all through our faith in your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.